My upper body floats easily in the water, pulling my feet up from the bottom. The water amplifies my heartbeat so that the thumps are much louder. The rhythm sounds normal, but my heart feels very hollow. Listening to my heartbeat, my mind wanders to Ma and Gek. April and New Year's are behind us, so now we are all 1 year older. Gek is 6 now. She is a year older than I was when the Khmer Rouge took over the country 3 years ago. It has been 6 months since I visited Ro Leap when Ma showed me her bruises. 9 months since I pulled my hand out of Chu's grasps. 12 months since I said goodbye to Keem. 17 months since the soldiers took Pa away. 21 months since Cave... I stopped myself from counting more dates. It is no use remembering when I last saw them. It will not help bring them closer to me. Yet in my world, where there are so many things I don't understand, counting dates is the only sane thing I know to do. When I am cooled down, I raise my head and spot a small cotton field in the distance. I get out of the water and walk toward it. The cotton stands as tall as my chest, puffy, white, and soft like the clouds, but I can actually touch the cotton. I pick a ball and pull it open. In the middle of the puffy cloud, there is a cluster of black round seeds like pepper. I have heard that they are safe to eat, but I hesitate momentarily before putting one in my mouth. I roll the seeds on my tongue. They are hard and have no taste. Tentatively, my teeth crack the shells and dig into the soft, oily meat. Slightly sweet, the seed quiets the noise in my stomach. I quickly pour the rest of the seeds onto my hand. Scanning the field to check for guards, I shove the seeds in my mouth as fast as I can. Then I collect a few more handfuls and put them in my pockets. By mid-morning, I arrive at the infirmary, an abandoned concrete warehouse with moldy, crumbling walls and open spaces for rooms. There is no electricity, so it is dark, except for the area that is illuminated by sunlight pouring in through the glassless windows. In the air hangs the unmistakable smell of rubbing alcohol and stale flesh. The 200 or so patients are lined up on straw mats or cots on the floor, their cries echoing off the cold stone walls. The bodies lie motionless, some bloated, others skeletal, all on the verge of death.